Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with the Drake Jason Justice. We are going to join Tim Grunhardt here in a second. But first, I want to give something away. Drake, look at that excitement. That you can't manufacture that.
It's an unbridled enthusiasm that only the Drake can possess.
Right. And here it is, what we have for you. I've mentioned to you that Nate and I make an appearance in the production of Rocky live on stage that opens up tonight and will run through April 28th at the B&B Live Theater off 435 in Metcalf. Music Theater KC, celebrating 32 years, putting on the production of Rocky Live on Stage, now through the 28th at B&B Live Theater off 435 and Midland, right?
Yep.
435 and Midland.
Yep, that's right.
And this is the
great spot.
The Kansas City premiere. And Nate and I, we'll just, you have to go see it. We're in it. That's all we can tell you. And it's live on stage, but there's portions of it that's on the big screen. And so we're not singing or anything, but we'll be part
Too
of the
bad
production.
There, but
yeah,
hey.
They missed out on that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going tonight with my my whole family to watch the premiere and see if they either applaud or boo my performance. But if you would like to go, we'd like to send some listeners to go watch us because, let's be honest, we're a couple of attention whores.
That's right.
And we want you to watch us.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes on us at all times, please. So mtkc.org, if you don't win the tickets, you can go to mtkc.org, Music Theater Kansas City, mtkc.org, if you want to buy tickets to Rocky live on stage. And if you're a Rocky fan, why wouldn't you? And it's a musical, and it's fun at B&B Live Theater.
Go ahead.
Tell me.
Well, you and I both got a little sneak preview of some of the talent that will be on stage.
It's exciting.
Oh, man.
The actual talent.
Yeah, real talent on stage. I think it's going to be a great show.
Nate plays play-by-play man Bob Dunphy, and I'm his broadcast partner, former heavyweight champion Jimmy Michaels. So, there. If you
Good
go,
evening, fight fans. Welcome to one of the greatest fights in world history.
Go to hell, Bob. 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. I've got four tickets to the Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Sunday matinee, 2 o'clock. Rocky live on stage with appearances by Nate Buchady and me at the B&B Live Theater. So if you want to go see Rocky the Musical, Rocky Live on Stage, 913-3810-810 will give you a four-pack of tickets to the Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. You just got to stop by the radio station and pick up the tickets today. Do it. Hey, it's a gift from Music Theater Kansas City, mtkc.org, and the Border Patrol. Let's say hello to Tim Grunhardt now. Hello, Timmy. How are you? Tim?
There are some who call him Tim.
There he is.
Hi,
Timmy. Hey, what's up? Come on, Drake. Get with it.
Yeah. Hey, Drake's got a lot of plates spinning over there, Timmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, guys, that's exciting. I'm excited for you guys. I wish I was in town to go and check out Rocky. I will say Stephen, I've gotten a hold of Hillary, and we're all set for my sitting coming up here at the end of April for the modeling session with your event for, what is it?
The Challenger Fashion Event, YMCA Challenger Program. That's awesome, Timmy.
Yep, really excited about it. Sarah and I will be out there, and I know you're bringing your beautiful wife, too, and so, yeah, we got a lot of fun things coming up here in Kansas City. And, hey, listen, the NFL season has kind of officially begun. April 1st, the eight teams with new head coaches are practicing and working out. And then the rest of the coaches and the rest of the players and the rest of the teams will start here in the next week. So, yeah, the first phase of the NFL is here.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to have a great time that night at our table. It's going to be me and my wife, you and Sarah, and how about Mike and Lisa Boddicker? So there will be some stories told, and we'll all be on the runway. I'll be the MC for the Challenge Your Fashion event. You can get more information about that at KansasCityYMCA.org, and I'll be the MC, and it's awesome. It's a 16th annual Challenge Your Fashion event at the Kansas City Marriott downtown. And this is such a big deal because it raises money for the wonderful Challenger program, and the Challenger athletes and their buddies will be on the runway with us celebrating, and it's just one of my favorite events of the year and for just a great cause. And so I'm glad. Thank you for taking part in this. They were very excited to have you, Tim, and they're very excited to have Mike Boddicker. And they're still, for some reason, somewhat excited to have me there emceeing. So it's going to be awesome.
You're the man. We appreciate all you do, man. You're always out and about emceeing and doing all kinds of events. So, and Nate, you don't do anything.
No, that's pretty much right.
No. Hey, so when you down to FLA for a soccer, you really haven't been down here much this year yet, have you?
No, I last year I was doing those games for Fox. So I was in Fort Lauderdale a lot, but this year I've been doing games for Apple, so I go to where the games are. And I did get to go to Orlando a few times, that was before you were down there.
Right.
So I don't know when I'll be back in Florida, but if I am, I'm definitely going to look you up. I'm going to be in D.C. this weekend, which means I'm missing out on a lot of action here in town. I'm missing out on the Messi game at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night, but my kids are going, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you missed it out. Maybe you maybe have a little time, as I got up early this morning to watch the end of the first round of the Masters. Watch a little bit of golf. My favorite weekend to kind of relax and sit back and watch some golf. I love watching the Masters. And, you know, one of the things that, I told you guys this before, I would kind of set my NFL offseason up with the majors. And I knew as soon as the Masters was here that it was time to get back to work. The offseason was basically over. It's time to get back in there and start working out. And we're seeing that going on now with some teams. And I believe most of the teams will start up sometime next week. And then, you know, as you worked into, it used to be the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open was, you know, pretty much the end of the off-season workout. And then the British Open would say, hey, it's time to go to training camp. And then the PGA would be the end of training camp. So the NFL season was here. So, yeah, big fan of watching golf, big fan of golf. Not a very good golfer, but love to watch it. And, it was exciting to watch it this morning. And the wind's picking up in Augusta, so it's going to be a tough round for those golfers. And it's fun to watch them struggle a little bit because, as we all know, as amateur golfers, we struggle all the time. So it's kind of fun to see those guys do it, too.
So Gary Woodland, a Kansas Jayhawk alum, is 4 over after his first round. He tees off in about a little over a half an hour from now for day number 2. And everything that he's been through, personally, you know, he had to have brain surgery.
Yeah.
And everything. I'm rooting for him big time. Hopefully he makes cut and has a good day today.
Yeah, I'd love to see Gary do well. I've seen him a couple times out at Wolf Creek playing golf, and he's a really nice guy. And it's just amazing to watch those guys hit the golf ball. It's so effortless when you're out there watching them. And they hit it just so far, so effortlessly. And, we're hoping that Gary does good. Don't forget about our Robert Streb, who's obviously – in the Masters, but a local guy also who lives over at Lake Quivira, who's a PGA pro. And so we got a lot of guys that live in the Kansas City area that are in the professional golf rankings. And, you know, Woody Austin, who was there for a long time, obviously Tom Watson, who was the one of the guys to kick off the tournament with a tee shot on one to be the honorary starter. A lot of great golfers in the Kansas City area. I am not one of them. That's for sure.
Nate Buchanan says he is.
No.
So,
No. I like to play. I'm not any good.
I hate to even bring this up, but I'm gonna. But this guy just ain't. He will not let it go. All right. So, Tom Brady. I'm sure you've heard of him. He was on the Deep Cut podcast that was released yesterday, and he was asked by the host Vic Blenz.
Hmm.
whether he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury. Brady said, I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner of an NFL team. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like Michael Jordan coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. So is this him shooting the bull, or do you think there's a legitimate option if a player gets hurt, a quarterback gets hurt, that we have not seen the end of Tom Brady?
Wow, that's an interesting question. And, idea of playing for a team against the team that you have ownership in. Now, that's very unusual in the NFL, but we do see that a little bit in NASCAR as Denny Hamlin is partners with Michael Jordan in 23 Motorsports, and then he drives for the Gibbs Racing Team. And if you watched any of the Netflix series on NASCAR, I can't remember what they called it, Need for Speed or something, but it was interesting that they were fighting out for a playoff spot, and he had to beat out somebody that he on the team that he owned. So that was an interesting dynamic. So, wondering if Tom Brady, if he does come back and he has some ownership in a team. Which team is he talking about getting ownership?
Raiders.
The Raiders, that's right. That's right, in Vegas, Raiders. So, it'd be interesting if all of a sudden he's playing for, let's say, the Broncos, and he's got to play the Raiders twice a year against the team that he owns. Listen, I would hope that Tom would ride off in the sunset and be an owner and maybe, you know, be a talking head for some of the Sunday games or do some podcasts because, you know, it's just so hard to come back, especially after the break that you've had. Now, if anybody could do it, Tom Brady can, because he is probably, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. And, he certainly has the mindset and he certainly has the technique and fundamentals to do it, just whether his body can cash in the check that his mind is writing. So I don't know if that's a possibility, but it would be interesting. It certainly would be interesting. I don't see him coming back.
If we're going to go down this road, who are the teams that will legitimately call him if their quarterback got hurt? I could see, the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because there's been interest there in the past. I could see that.
The Giants.
But they're not, they wouldn't, he would have to come back to a team that have a chance to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Or a team that wants to write a big check. But, that's a really good question. I'm glad that the Kansas City Chiefs have got Carson Wentz. I love that backup. I love that signing. Hopefully we'll never use it, but what a great insurance policy for the Kansas City Chiefs. It rivals State Farm, right? You know, Patrick Mahomes talking about State Farm all the time. Well, the Chiefs have insurance now with Carson Wentz.
Great fit.
Can certainly fit in and run an offense maybe not a high level, but at a satisfactory level. If something happened to Patrick, knock on wood, never does, for three or four games, you got a guy that can come in and there's going to be a drop off, but not a huge drop off because Carson Wentz, a guy who won a lot of football games and is a smart guy and run a lot of offenses. And I love that signing. I really do. You just in the NFL, man, just the way it is. You look around in the NFL last year, some of the superstar quarterbacks went down early. We have from the Jets and the Vikings and Cincinnati and Cleveland and the Chiefs. Once again, you hate to even talk about it because you don't want to talk it into existence. But if something happens to Patrick Mahomes, you got a solid guy backing up, and I love that signing.
All right, Timmy, I debated whether I wanted to even bring this topic up, but Jake is not here, and so I don't have to worry about any drops or any of his shenanigans behind the glass. Although, at my remote, I did have to reprimand Jake because he thought it was funny to tweet out from the 810 Border Patrol account that O.J. Simpson had entered the transfer portal, which, Jake's full of laughs, and so I had to take his phone away. But what was your any reaction, any words about the passing of O.J. Simpson?
Wow, right. I knew you asked this question.
Well, who else am I going to ask?
Well, no, and you know what? That's your job, and it's a great question. And I don't know if I have a great answer. I was never a big fan of O.J. He was around, obviously, when Marcus was around.
That's what I want to hear. Tell me about a time you crossed paths with O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, no, I crossed paths with him multiple times as he would come into the locker room on a Friday or Saturday morning. He'd be playing dominoes with the guys at the table. And just wasn't a very likable person, to be really honest with you. There's those guys that when they walk in the room, you feel a positive energy. Never really felt a positive energy. It wasn't just, he wasn't one of, and this is for everybody. And I say this a lot to people that know me. Like Joe Montana, I would say, or Derek Thomas. Derek was just a lightning rod of energy. But they're one of us. If I'm with a crew and like people are out and they say, hey, what do you think of Joe Montana? Or what do you think of Derek Thomas? Or what do you think of Cortez Kennedy? I say, hey guys, you know what? If he was here with us, he'd just be one of us. He's just one of those guys. OJ was not one of us. He just wasn't. I don't know why. I didn't know well enough, but just the negative energy when he came into the room, a little bit holier than thou. Little sobby. You hate that somebody passed away, but I'm always say, listen, I don't want to talk bad about somebody who just passed away, but the reality is, he wasn't a good guy, and we saw that in his life, with multiple things. He started out on. He earned the right to be one of the best football players in the history of the game, and then a lot of opportunities to be a movie star and a commercial star and all kinds of different things. And it was fun to watch him in some of the movies he was in and the Hertz commercials and all those kind of things. But the reality of the situation is, guys, he's not one of us. He just wasn't.
I mean, maybe he had. Maybe he had a bad vibe when he walked into the room because he killed people.
Well,
that'll give off a bad vibe. I think. I mean,
it does. Drake. He wasn't wearing any of his gloves.
Right. Well,
that was one of the things.
It's like I had to say, hey, here's this guy.
It's such a crazy. Like I was explaining to my daughter Ophelia. Because my wife said, hey, did you see that O.J. Simpson died? And my daughter said, who's O.J. Simpson?
Right.
And the only reason my daughter would know anything about her is because I've watched the Naked Gun movies with her, and she thinks they're hilarious. And I go, well, the guy that was in the movies.
Nordberg.
And I said, he was a really, really beloved figure. He was like one of the greatest running backs of all time. He became a successful broadcaster. And then I got to the part of the story, and he then.
Right.
By all accounts, killed his wife, ex-wife, and another man, and like the plot twist as you're saying it out loud reminds you of how crazy the whole thing was, because she did not see that part of the story coming, because she doesn't know anything about it, it was, and then he went on a car chase that had people gathering on top of bridges in California holding up signs for him. And then the most famous murder trial maybe in American history and all kinds of bizarre things that happened from that. And then he wasn't found guilty. And then other things. Telling it out loud to somebody who never lived any of it almost like makes you re-remember how nuts the whole situation was.
That's when he was working for NBC, right? When he was always coming around.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, too, I mean, there are certain events in American history, really in world history, that you say, hey, where were you when this happened? And that certainly is one of them. Where were you when O.J. Simpson was in the car chase with Al Collins driving his white Bronco? Where were you? I remember I was in Lee Summit. I was living off of Milton Thompson Road, and we were out in the back porch, and somebody called me on my landline. I don't even think we had cell phones back then. We had car phones, but not cell phones. And And, you know, we went and we glued ourselves to the TV and watched it. And it was just, I mean, what an unbelievable, surreal deal. And then the other event, you know, also with OJ is, where were you when he was found not guilty? You know, we had found, it was a Tuesday during the football season. And I was down, I was meeting some people down in Lake of the Ozarks to just fish for the day. And we pulled in and we got off the boat and went up into the cottage that they were renting and watched the verdict. And everybody just sat there with their mouths wide open like, oh, my gosh, how did he get away with it?
Well.
And he kind of didn't. I mean, in the end, you know. But, yeah, man. But it also goes to show you, you know, we see public figures that are beloved and put a persona out there to the public. And you don't know who
you don't know who these people are.
You don't know who these people can present different sides of themselves to the public when they want to. And that because my daughter, like, he was really beloved person by much of the population. Everybody loved him, you know?
Let's sit down and have a talk, Ophie. let me tell you the end of the story there.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Timmy, when are you going to be back in studio? We got to get ready for this NFL draft.
Yeah, I will be on with you guys on, I'll be on the road driving home next Friday, but we'll be on with you guys. But the Friday after that, I'll be back in studio hanging out with you guys, getting ready for the draft. And I think the Chiefs are going to look at a couple positions, the offensive line position, wide receiver position. Got a little bit of a man crush on Ladd McConkey. I'd love for them to draft him.
Oh, talking Stephen's language now.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I think he'd be great for this offense, great for Patrick Mahomes, a smart player, a very guy that runs great routes, catches the ball well. And, you know, I think, you know, I think Pat would love to have a guy that he knows exactly where he's going to be and how he's going to get there, and he's going to be able to trust him. So I'd like to see that. And then, you got the kid from Texas, the big tall kid from Texas. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he's another kid that I would like to see. He'd be great in the red zone. So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. The NFL season is officially here, and we'll go from stage to stage together.
All right, Timmy, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys.
That's Tim Grunhard. We'll take a break and be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Masters is going on right now. And to talk a little bit about that with us, we've had him on the show a few times before. Glad to have him on again. Cam Rogers joins us. Cam, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Happy Friday of Masters Week. Excited to be on with you guys, and it should be a fun weekend of golf action.
You can follow Cam on X. Cam Rogers Live is his handle, golf and betting expert. So tell us your thoughts so far, what we've seen from the Masters.
Well, obviously the story right now is that beautiful 65 that Bryson DeChambeau shot yesterday. You know, it's interesting, going into the week, I was not really looking at Bryson all that much, albeit he was coming into the tournament playing well on LIV, but you always have to take that with a grain of salt because the competition on LIV, obviously not as good as compared to the PGA Tour. They play less, and they play less holes. So, you know, Bryson's history at Augusta has been pretty bad. Entering this week, his best finish was 21st, and that was as an amateur. So he was really struggling for many years to figure out Augusta. It seems like maybe the mad scientist has cracked the code, because here he is first on the leaderboard, and then, you know, it's like death, taxes, and Scottie Scheffler playing good golf. There he is at 6 under par. His ball striking has been absolutely immaculate over the course of the last 2 years, to be frank with you, and you know, he's going to be a factor all the way through Sunday as well.
So what makes DeChambeau different now, in a good way, to make him a contender this time around, besides just the good start itself? What makes him different now?
I think he's playing a different game now. You see him on your television set. He's a lot thinner. He's swinging a little bit differently. He's not doing the whole bomb and gouge strategy anymore. That was kind of his strategy at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. And listen, it worked, but it's not sustainable for years on end for a long career. So I think Bryson understood that, leaned up a little bit. You know, he still has the same length, for golf clubs for every single club in the bag, which I always think is a disadvantage at Augusta because you have these uneven lines. But, you know, I think he's a lot more strategic in the way he approaches the game. It's not so much about overpowering the golf course, but thinking your way around the golf course. And you certainly need to do that at Augusta. You can't be as robotic as maybe you should be at a U.S. Open with your ball striking. At Augusta, you got to be more artistic and think your way and create your way around the course. And Bryson was very effective at doing that yesterday.
All right, let's talk about a little action that we could have right now on the Masters. I'm looking right now. You can get Scheffler outright winner at plus 120. Bryson DeChambeau outright winner plus 500. Right now, minus 110. Top five, top 10, minus 275. If you don't mind, give us some angles, give us some bets, give us some anything that you think is worthwhile for our listeners.
Yeah, so I was on Rory McIlroy going into the week for top 10. I like that move a lot, only minus 110 for McIlroy to be inside the top 10. So that's worthy of a pick. I was on Cam Young for a top 20 going into the week. I would not talk you out of placing a shekel or two on Young to win the Masters. He's plus 3,000 right now. I still think that's pretty good value, and he was like 45-1 or something going into the tournament. I would not bet on Scheffler outright. I just think that it's too short of a number for me. I'm probably going to stay away from Bryson. Let's see how he does today after a really good first round. And then somebody like a Will Zalatoris is extremely interesting to me. Obviously, he's got a great major championship resume, plus 2,800 for him, worthy of a shekel or two as well. So keep an eye on those guys. And those were guys that I was looking at going into the week. And to see them playing well so far makes me look smart for once. So we love that.
So everyone, as always, eyes on Tiger Woods. What are your thoughts about what we've seen from Tiger so far?
You know, I'm pretty impressed with what he has done. And today's going to be a marathon for him. 23 holes of major championship golf in one day. Let's see how that body holds up today. And then it seems like he's going to break the made cut streak at the Masters here this week. So that's pretty exciting, and I'm going to cast that bet. So that is a lovely thing. And listen, the driver's fantastic. I mean, his strokes gained off the tee numbers actually back in February at the Genesis Invitational were very good. Everything else was very bad. And it seems to be kind of a theme again this week, like the iron game just isn't there. He hit a ton of fairways yesterday and today, but really didn't hit a lot of greens, and when you don't hit greens at Augusta National, then you're scrambling and trying to save yourself, and it puts too much pressure on your short game. So the driver's good. The iron game needs work. We'll see how he does today. Perfect conditions today as far as warmth is concerned, so Tiger-friendly conditions in that respect. And then maybe he can get a hot putter this weekend and perhaps maybe sort of kind of be a part of the conversation on moving day. We'll see.
Well, what are the odds now for him to make the cut?
Oh, I'm sure it's probably around minus 200, minus 250. The value is probably gone at that point.
Right.
He was plus 100 going into the week, so he was even money, and I was like, oh, that's easy. The guy hasn't missed a cut in this millennium. He hasn't missed a cut as a professional at the Masters. You know, he did in 1996 as an amateur. So, you know, I'm sure it's off the board on most books at this point.
You feel like, so it's a done deal. He's gonna make the cut.
I feel pretty good about it. Yeah, I would think the cut is going to be probably 3 over after the day is done. The top 50 in ties make the cut. And I would expect a lot of guys to backpedal today. I think the conditions as far as wind is concerned are going to create a lot of big scores out there.
What's he capable of beyond that, in your opinion, Tiger?
This week or this
year? Yeah, just this week, this weekend.
You know, I think he can make a run today. We'll see what happens. You know, he's got to take advantage of these par fives. And on the par fours, you sort of have to, like, hold on for dear life and make your pars. I think the ultimate upside for him this week, the pipe dream for all the Tiger fans out there, is, like, a top eight, top ten finish. You know, we've seen guys like Bernhard Langer and Fred Couples in the latter part of their careers make runs at Augusta. Heck, Phil did it last year, finishing runner-up. So I think that's the most upside. Does he have a chance to win this week? I'm going to flat out say I don't think he does.
Anything else? Any other long shots or any of the bets that you like right now with the way the numbers look?
I would take a T peak of Xander Schauffele. He's right there inside the top 30, even par. He was my pick to win going into the week, and he's somebody who has like a 64 or a 65 out of nowhere because of his powerful driver. He dominates par five. The iron game is fantastic. So keep an eye on Schauffele. Would not talk you out of placing a little bit of a bet there. And then somebody like a Rory McIlroy to get it done finally at the Masters. I know I talked about him for a top 10, but worthy of a play maybe to win this thing just because the pressure really isn't on him. He's sitting there at one under par. He's just kind of like floating back there, but he could fire like a 65, 64 in 2 seconds. So keep an eye on McIlroy this week as well.
What about the recent form of McIlroy? What does that make you think in terms of just the way he's been playing lately?
Yeah, you know, McIlroy standards, not great, but a regular PGA Tour player standards, pretty good. You know, a lot of top 25s, making cuts, that sort of thing. What really stuck out to me with Rory was last week's performance in Texas, where he had his best approach play tournament since 2019. And you're telling me you've got Rory, who has 8 top 10s in his last 10 major starts, coming into the Masters off his best iron game performance since 2019. You got to be on him a little bit. The concern with him always is what's going on in between the ears with the pressure of trying to complete the career Grand Slam. But, you know, I think McIlroy is certainly going to be a story as we continue on here.
All right, Cam, for people that would like to follow along with your information and your tips and everything else, tell people how they can watch you and read your stuff.
Absolutely. Cam Rogers Live on all social medias. I'll be doing some more TV hits throughout the weekend, so stay tuned for that.
Hey, Cam, as always, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
That is Cam Rogers. You can check him out on X on Twitter, at Cam Rogers Live is his handle. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We talked a lot about the Royals, winners of 7 in a row, including 13-3 yesterday over the Houston Astros, completing the sweep over Houston. And now they go to New York to take on the Mets. First pitch tonight at 6:40. Michael Wacha on the mound. And then Saturday and Sunday, they will be they'll be playing at 12:40 in the afternoon. Alec Marsh, and then, that's right, Cole Reagans will be on the mound on Sunday. And so it should be an interesting series to watch and to see if the Royals can extend their winning streak in New York against the Mets. You've also got UFC 300. Had a preview from our friend Kevin Ioli, who was on the show earlier at 8:30. Talked to Cam Rogers about the Masters that's going on. And then, of course, Nate Bucchetti. The messy game is here for all the fans that will be going to Arrowhead Stadium. It's very exciting.
Yep.
Let me. Do you have some type of? Can you play some kind of sounder, like a trumpet, or some anything, any kind of sound, so I can alert people of something, some kind of anything. All right, to get people's attention. I don't have any tickets to this soccer match. I don't have any access to tickets to the soccer match. I have no way of getting you tickets to the soccer match. To the tens of people that have reached out to me, I believe tickets are available right now at Tickets for Less. And Tickets for Less has a wonderful option for you that I just told you about. And you can call them, and they will have tickets. But if you call or text me, I will not have tickets. Just wanted to get that out there. I mean, they have, how about this, a great deal on TFL Penthouse Suite tickets starting at just $199, all-inclusive, food and full bar with a great view. I mean, hey. So again, once again, I do not have tickets to the messy game. I will not have tickets and I cannot get you tickets. What I can do is direct you to Tickets for Less. TicketsForLess.com, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. A trusted partner of Sports Radio 810 WHB and the Border Patrol. And I thank you.
You don't have that stack of Stephen St. John tickets just sitting around?
Oh, wait. Oh. Trying.
Pull them right out of your rear.
I'm trying to pull them out of my ass. I can't get them. Oh, they got to stay in there.
Your arm's too short.
I know, right? It's so uncomfortable. I've been sitting just...
A lot of people don't know. Usually Sporting Kansas City just comes to you and hands you a pile of tickets and says, hey, give these to your friends if they call. That didn't happen this time?
You're the guy. You might have tickets. You're Mr. MLS.
I have tickets for my kids. I bought tickets for them. I bought tickets. But, yeah, that's... there are tickets available if you go to ticketsforless.com. You know,
preview the match since everyone wants to.
Well, look, I think it's going to be.
Is he going to play or not?
I think he's going to play.
All right.
How much? I don't know.
How much?
Their team arrived last night because I believe they came straight from Monterrey, Mexico. See how I rolled my R there, Steve? Because two R's in Monterrey.
He here.
Yeah. So they're in town. I don't know what kind of scene it is around him right now.
Where are they staying?
I'm not going to give that information out.
Do you know?
I do know.
Where are they staying?
At a hotel in town. So.
What room's he in?
I don't know that.
I bet you know.
I don't know that.
I bet you asked.
I do not know that.
How do you know where he's staying?
Because
you asked, didn't you?
I was told by somebody without even asking.
You going to go sniffing around there later?
No, I'm not.
Or he's not going to go, hey, I need some coffee. I better go to this hotel lobby and see what they got. Just by accident?
No. I'm not going to do that.
What would you do if you went there and you saw him?
I would be like, hey, that's messy.
You wouldn't go up to him?
You can't get, you can't
There's
just
a bunch
go up
of videos
to him.
That show him being very receptive to people like running up to him and crying. Would you go up to him crying?
I would not go up to him crying, but I would certainly love to meet him someday. But, you know, I doubt that I will get that chance. But I've been lucky enough to watch him play in person three times. And here's what I would say.
I never thought I was going to meet Canelo, and I did. So maybe you meet Messi.
It would be a bigger deal to me to meet Thierry Henry, you know. But
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But.
Wow.
The thing about Messi is it's a big.
Kill everyone's excitement. Now.
It's a bigger deal to watch Messi play. To see him in person, there are going to be upwards of 70,000 people who will get the chance to see him perform live tomorrow. Ooh. And it is, and they are going to never, they're never going to forget it if he plays.
What hotel is he staying at?
I'll tell you as soon as we, as this music ends and the microphones are off. How about that? But.
Missouri side or Kansas side?
I'm genuinely excited for everybody that gets the opportunity to watch this man. He is a performer of the highest order in the history of the world. When the ball is at his feet, the entire stadium will come alive.
How much is he playing?
I don't know. Hopefully a lot.
You know what? We got a soccer insider, soccer expert. I get a lot of I don't knows out of him.
And I think Sporting's going to give him a real good game, too. Sporting, the way they've been giving up chances, it could be a high-scoring affair.
There it is. Nate Bucati refusing to tell you where Messi's staying on Sports Radio 810 WHB.